It is 9:10 on Friday morning, and going back, we're using a rewind button to Monday at 6 a.m. I never thought we'd get here. I didn't think we would, but by gosh, we have. We persevered. We made it. And it's time to talk to our friend Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune New Orleans Advocate. How you doing, Ian McNulty?
Glad to be back in the saddle with you, Tommy. You were missed last week. Dave did a yeoman's job at the mic. But I did miss my dose of Tommy Tucker on Friday morning to kick off the weekend. So glad to be back with you.
July 4th was last Friday.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We set some sparklers off here, but I saved the big bombs for you.
I appreciate
pockets for Dave last week, but I got big stuff to talk about today.
I appreciate that. Speaking of which, it reminds me today is the 11th, and today's the day for my termite inspection, so I have to rush home and clean up before, you know, the termite guy comes in and calls social services on me. You live alone, you let stuff slide. You know what I'm saying? So, let me open the phone lines here. 504-260-1870, Oakland Art Jeweler talking text line. Ian's going to be here for an hour with us for the most part. And if you have any questions about eating or drinking around the New Orleans area, we'll be glad to entertain them. And Ian will give you his thoughts. But first, Ian has some thoughts of his own because he covers food and dining for a living, right?
Busy week, Tommy. Busy week on the beat. You have the week you think you're going to have, and you have the week that ends up happening. The big news this week, of course, was Palace Cafe, the Dickie Brennan restaurant.
You know what sucks about that? And I wanted to ask you about this specifically. That is a restaurant that I had every intention of going to, but I kept putting it off and kept putting it off and kept putting it off. And it goes to what you talk about with, you got to support these restaurants. I don't know exactly what's going on there, but you keep putting it off and you're putting it off, and before you know it, it's too late.
Well, this was a real landmark restaurant, and it's not just the shuttering of another restaurant. It's much more than that because of what this place represents. And you know, the upside here is there could be a resolution to it. We could see it come back in the same spot. Mm-hmm. The crux of the issue is a dispute with the landlord over the lease to buy option. And Palace Cafe has been there for 34 years.
I wasn't a procrastinator. I just said I always wanted to go and never have.
Sure, sure. But what I'm saying, it's like in the pantheon of New Orleans restaurants, it's like a peak on a mountainscape disappearing because it had the sense of permanence and an important place on Canal Street. I mean, Canal Street is, let's face it, it's patchy right now, right? It's a little rough and tumble here throughout the course of it, but there's these real bright spots on it, and it has all the potential in the world to be just, well, what it should be. I mean, Canal Street is the first impression that New Orleans makes on millions of visitors. It's a place that's steeped in memory for generations of locals. It has an amazing stock of beautiful historic buildings. And for going on 3.5 decades, Palace Cafe, the Key Brennan restaurant, was an example, I think, of the highest and best use of those places. It was a first-class restaurant that really opened one of these beautiful historic buildings for people to come on in and experience them. I mean, that's what you want. Canal Street, if it's ever going to be what it can be, needs a dozen more restaurants in a league of Palace Cafe, not one less. And so that's why closing it hits really hard for those of us who, you know, love and care about New Orleans and want to see it reach its highest potential, including right there on the what should be the main drag of Canal Street. And, so the upshot is, it was a dispute between the restaurant operator and the landlord. This is the old historic Werlein's building. It ended up in court. The restaurant operators want to buy it after leasing it for 35 years. And there was a clause in their lease that said they could, but they're disagreeing over just what that meant, what the price should be versus all the stuff that the restaurants put in through the years. We go into a little more detail in the stories on NOLA.com. But the upshot is, at the end of the lease, the restaurant operators closed. They couldn't come to the terms that they thought they could operate on. And that's it. They had to pull the plug because culture has to live with the business realities in the restaurant world. But that court decision is under appeal, and the Dickie Brennan people tell me they could potentially reopen in the same spot if things change, or we could see Palace Cafe remanifest itself somewhere else on Canal Street in one of those other grand, though direly neglected buildings? Possibly. We'll see. We'll see. But that's how the week began. And Tommy, there's a
lot.
Let
me just jump in for a second. It would seem to me, and look, I'm all for free enterprise and everything else, and anybody that listens knows I view subsidies and credits and everything else very critically to make sure that's a good deal for the taxpayers. However, when it comes to the city, when you look at the importance of Canal Street and what Canal Street has become and what a valuable thing Palace Cafe was to have on Canal Street, although I didn't manage to get there in 35 years, you would think that the city would get involved here somewhere, maybe?
Well, actually, Tommy, you bring up a good point. You haven't been. That's fine. A place like that did a solid for New Orleans people, whether they went there or not, because of what a place like that on Canal Street transmits and radiates to people who come to New Orleans, who are staying at the hotel right next door, the thousands of hotel rooms around it, who go to the Canal Place Mall, go to the Caesars Casino down the street, that it's like, look, this vibrant, classy place of the highest and best use of this historic building, and run by a solid outfit with a story to tell of New Orleans cuisine. That's exactly what you want. It's not just like, oh, any use that the highest bidder can come in with, because sometimes the highest bidder may be, lowest common denominator market demand. Selling crap at cheap prices can make you a lot of money, or being a big national chain brand that just wants to have a spot on a prominent street. That's cool too. I mean,
National brands better than cheap crap and lowest common denominator, I think. But go ahead.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, you want places that radiate New Orleans and culture and have local relevance and will bring the locals in. Having a place like that, whether you particularly went or not, did a solid for that idea of New Orleans up to the best of its potential. Maybe a reminder within us all to go and support the places that you love. This wasn't a question.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Tommy, not you.
All right.
But yes, let's move on to some other good news on a vastly different scale from moving on from Palace Cafe with its hundreds of seats and thousands and thousands of guests that serve. We're going micro. We're going to Mid-City, and we're going to meet a couple gals who are called the Lady Mongers. That is the title for what these folks are doing at Porgy's Seafood Market. What's a Lady Monger, Tommy, you might ask?
It is not a
monger of ladies, but it is a lady who is a monger, as in a fishmonger, as in a cheesemonger.
See, I always had a question about that. Is it fishmonger or fishmongerer?
Monger.
Not, I have an extra on there, not mongerer. It's monger.
Or if you're from certain parts of New Orleans, fishmonger.
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a seller of commodities. I mean, I think back in the old days, there were mongers of all kinds of things. But we've got cheesemongers like we have at St. James Cheese Company, and we have a fishmonger that we have in vanishing supply. The reason the term seems archaic is because you just don't have them anymore. You don't have specialty seafood markets. And it's the thing that people ask me all the time. Why in the seafood-loving city of New Orleans don't we have something like the mighty Joe Paddy's down in Pensacola, which is this bustling seafood market, but also a place where you can get stuff to just take home prepared foods, get some sushi while you're in there. That's what Joe Paddy's is. Well, we have a version of that now, very distinctly different and very New Orleans, with Porgy's Seafood. So just yesterday I posted a story about the Lady Mongers. And so it's these two young women who now kind of run the fish counter there at Porgy's and run the whole operation. So Porgy's is an old-fashioned seafood market fused to a modern restaurant, a modern cafe, where you can go in and get seafood for home, cuts of fish, shrimp, oysters from all different parts of the Gulf waters, those specialty oysters that you and I have talked about a lot. You can also get a po' boy and a daiquiri, a glass of wine and a plate of sashimi or crudo, lightly dressed, salads that are coming through using the seafood right from the case, specialty plates, grilled parts of the fish collars that everyone loves from fishing camp days. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating place. It's tiny, it's small scale, but it's making a difference because it's meeting that need that people have asked me for. Like, I just want to go to a place where there's a whole bunch of different fish and I can get something something different or something from the Gulf that I haven't tried yet, or something that's just not available at the normal places where I buy fish, the grocery stores, the little seafood markets that mostly have boiled crabs and shrimp this time of year. This is it. But what it needs, after all this time of not having a fishmonger in our lifestyle, in our regular routine of going around and shopping, is an impresario, is an ambassador, someone to introduce it to people again. Mm-hmm. Enter the ladymongers. So it's these, like I said, these two young women who just come at it with this energy and enthusiasm for what they're doing, transmit it when you go into the shop. They're approachable, chatty, fun. It's not one of those places where you're going into the tattoo shop and you're supposed to outsmart the other guy, or if you don't have the precise knowledge and technical lexicon to communicate with these experts, they kind of shun you a little bit. It's not like that at all.
Did you say the tattoo shop? Is that what you said?
Yeah, you go into a tattoo parlor. You know, everyone's like talking shop. Everyone's going to out tattoo each other. You know,
really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's think about. Okay, let's do a different example. You go into. This is a great example. You go into a plumbing supply store that's mostly for plumbers, right?
And now I get it. Now I understand exactly what you're saying. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you need to change the valve that's attached to the thingy on the doohickey, and
right.
They just roll.
And they look at it and they say, son, if I'd known any better, I'd say use a regular jackass, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's not like that at all. It is very much like, hey, I'm interested in seafood. What's this? Well, we are too. We just learned about it, and it's so fascinating. We gutted this thing yesterday. It was so gross. But now at the end of it, we have this pristine fish. And yes, you can slice it and eat it raw for about 3 more days or so. This is how you should cook it. This is how you should dress it if you want to make sushi at home. It's that kind of experience. And so they've taken the show on social media where they do these fun videos. And it's all just about opening the door for people to experience the bounty of Gulf seafood, what people have been asking for. A lot of it is direct from the boats. They can tell you, oh, this barracuda.
Let me jump in for a second, because I don't know who the photographer is. John McCusker, is that his name?
The great Johnny Mac, John McCusker, yeah.
Took a picture of these ladies with a spear caught barracuda, and honestly, the barracuda owes John a favor, because I don't think the barracuda ever thought it could look this good. But in addition to that, they got some pictures, and y'all can go to NOLA.com to find this, Ian's story. They have some pictures of the seafood in the case, and I don't know what kind of fish I'm looking at, but what... impresses me, Ian, is that with the detail of the photo, you could see how clear the fish's eyes are, and that has a lot to do with how fresh it is, does it not?
Yeah, oh, bingo. Yeah, nailed it. I mean, yeah, they know the fishermen who are bringing this stuff in, and sometimes it's coming in one or two fish at a time. Like, these are not the hauls of fish that are going to make it onto in regular rotation at a large retailer or even a large restaurant. I mean, this is
Now, when you say one or two at a time, they don't turn themselves in, the fish. That's not what you're saying, right?
Yeah. They're very much at large until they're right. Netted.
Okay. Just checking.
Right.
Yeah. If the fish has some problems, you know, it's like, hey, ladies, put me out of my misery. But thankfully, that doesn't happen, right?
No, that doesn't happen.
You're missing Dave Cohen right about now, aren't you? I'm just kidding. Let me take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Ian McNulty. Porgy Seafood Market is where, Ian?
I wanted to say the fish are fresh. They're not sarcastic like you. Yeah. Yes, talking about Porgy Seafood Market. It's in Mid-City. It's on Carrollton and Bienville. And it's right by Benicia's and Angela Picado's for some little more old-school landmarks. But check
and
out the lady
painted
mark.
Purple. You can't miss it, right?
Purple porgy.
Yeah, good. All right, good. More with Ian McNulty when we come back. 9:24 traffic now. No, traffic. Just a break on WWL. I'd say pounds of fun until Ian McNulty joins us on Friday. That's when the tails tip over into tons of fun. Ian covers eating and drinking and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Ian, somebody texted in about porgies, and I don't think it's a bad question. We're kidding around about, you know, if I didn't know any better, I'd say use a regular jackass, and that's the last thing these people are about. However, they want to know if they're going to insult anybody if they go in and can they get fried fish or not, or is that, like, taboo?
Oh, yeah. No, I should specify. It is a seafood market, but also a restaurant.
Okay.
Used together. So this is a place, people may remember it from the old days, it was Cajun's, and then for a number of years, 10 years, it was called Bevy Seafood. It's been a fixture in Mid-City for a while.
I've been meaning to get there.
Sorry?
I've been meaning to get there. I'm just kidding.
Oh, yes, I see. You can get a fried seafood platter. You can get po' boys, but you can also go a little more adventurous. You can look at something that's in the case raw and say, how do you think that fish would do griddled up and put on some Leidenheimer French bread? Like, yeah, let's give it a shot. Let's go for it.
Because really?
It's having that supply of goodies, of ocean treats at hand. And, they're mongers, right? But they're ambassadors. They want people to get into the goodness that we have there beyond, you know, catfish and the odd black drum that turns up on specials lists. I mean,
this to me seems to be
with different species of food that's delicious eaten.
I'm sorry, and this to me seems to be the type of thing where if you're looking for an adventure and an experience for lunch and not spend a tremendous amount of money, but just have a different kind of experience for a meal, this is your place. Yes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's terrific. And, everybody that's in there loves it, and it's changing all the time. The specials, they literally do change every day, and it's based on what they have in the case. And these are chefs. These are chefs who've worked at restaurants like, you know, the Double Dink restaurants. I just saw the former chef from MoFo doing some turns in there. This is New Orleans chefy creativity applied to just vibrantly fresh seafood that's coming in with a creative eye. It's very accessible. It's mostly a lunch through happy hour place. I think they close at 7:30, probably close off the kitchen at 7 or so. But they do a great happy hour. It's like an oyster happy hour, so deals on oysters out of the case and drink specials. And I have to say, it's a seafood market, but it doesn't have that sort of rough and tumble, you know, fish blood on the floor kind of old-timey seafood market you're picturing. It's cute. You know, the inside is coral pink walls. There's all kinds of, like, beach shack, bric-a-brac all around. And, like, you know, the lady mongers, you know, about these two gals going on social media, posting videos and such, they've made it kind of a very inviting space. I mean, there's all walks of life that come in there, whether they're looking for some boiled crabs or a plate of crudo. Mm-hmm. There is a noticeably, there's a noticeable female contingent to the clientele. It seems like there's a lot of gals outings, you know, like, hey, you know, let's do a little ladies' night, just girlfriends, and go out and have some oysters and wine or some cocktails for an early happy hour and then go out or do whatever we're doing with the rest of our night. It's just made a space that's accessible and kind of cute and stylish, but is dead serious in its mission of showing people the bounty of the Gulf that they're missing because we don't have enough. Frankly, we don't have the old time supply lines that we used to have. I mean, it's a generation ago that people could talk about their neighborhood fishmonger. I mean, they didn't call it that, but it was the fish market down the street. They were all over different neighborhoods, and it wasn't just the boiled seafood during the season that keeps a lot of these places going. It really was, people with arm's length connection to fishermen they knew, maybe in their family, who were selling it. And that's part of New Orleans food heritage, and this is a little piece coming back. It's framed in a different way, in a modern way. I mean, like, you know, they weren't eating, you know, crudo over on, you know, at Christiana Seafood on Maple Street, Oak Street, excuse me, all those years ago. But, you know, it's the same idea of having that arm's length access to seafood just presented in a way that makes sense and is attractive to today.
Seems like a great date place because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Somebody texted in, Tommy, to any business, that will forever be the kiss of death. I've been meaning to get there. You're cracking me up. Thanks a bunch. Thank you. Well, Ian McNulty's cracking you up as well. Let me get to some questions and get back to where you've been eating, okay?
Right,
new
sure.
Steak place in the old pepper mill is Vaca. I had the pleasure of eating there on Wednesday evening, I think it was. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, it's hard to say it's the best steak I ever had in my life, but it was a Pittsburgh-style New York strip, and the appetizers were delicious. The sides were delicious. You know, again, it's hard to say which steakhouse is better than the other, but it was pretty damn good, I got to tell you. Tell me about Vaca.
Oh, there's definitely some homers out there in the audience for Vaca because it comes up just about every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good spot. It's the old pepper mill. It's a blend of old-time New Orleans steakhouse with some Creole food and some seafood thrown in. Dave and I talked about this at length last week, as we often do, because of the fans of Vaca out there who like to call in. So, yes, very, very much worth making a trip out. And they do have some good happy hour specials and some good summer specials rolling there, too. So check that out.
this Pittsburgh style thing. I know I've had lamb chops that way at Rizzuto's, and I had nothing. I didn't know anything about Pittsburgh style. For people that don't know, explain what that is, Ian.
Oh, almost mooing still, right? Black and blue is another way to put it. The best version I had of this recently was at the Steak Knife in Lakeview. We ordered it. Hey, we want it rare. We want it, black and blue, basically. And that's exactly how it came out. This is a few nice chops away from being steak tartare almost.
But you got this black crust. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. That's right. The outside is seared. The inside might still be, shouldn't be cold, but, room temperature perhaps on the inside. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting the full beefy steak experience. And it is. The very opposite end of the spectrum of the travesty that is butterflied well done. And it is, it's not for everybody. You have to like your steak like that. Sometimes I'm in the mood for that. Sometimes in the mood for just rare or even medium rare, depending on what I'm going for. But Pittsburgh style is the same as black and blue. Basically, it's very, very minimally cooked. But on the outside, you have that sear, so you have the differentiation. Mm-hmm. But on the inside, it is the same color, hopefully, as the Cabernet in your glass.
There you go. Somebody texted and wants to know about a recommendation for good Thai food. Ian talk Thai very well. I just want to get that line in. Go ahead.
Talking Thai with Tommy Tucker. Here we go. We are in a golden age of Thai food in New Orleans, and it's wonderful. The city does not have a huge Thai population. It has one for sure, but we are overrepresented with great Thai restaurants. I just wrote about one recently in Metairie that should be on everyone's radar who likes Thai food, and because it was off of mine for 2 years. It's been open for 2 years before I managed to darken its door. And I've been eating I'm making up for lost time, because I am. It's fantastic. It's called Tuk Tuk Thai, and it's T-U-K, refers to the little motor scooters that tuk tuk around the streets of Saigon, taking people about. At first glance, it's like the standards, pad Thai, papaya salad. These are the things, curries. These are the things you find at most Thai restaurants. It's sort of a pick your base, pick your protein. And even that is good, right? Like that baseline of Thai food is good. But what makes a great Thai restaurant, in my opinion, are the chef specialties and the things that really get into the depth of Thai food, whether it's street food or the more elaborate banquet style food. And that's what you find on the, keep turning the pages at Tuk Tuk Thai, and you get to the back of that menu. It's not immediately evident if you go to their website and look at the online ordering situation. I mean, really, just go to the restaurant and look at the menu, look in the back. And anything on that specials list is going to be good, but especially if you're a lover of pork belly cracklin. Do you like cracklin that you get at a Cajun butcher shop? Mm-hmm. This is the Thai version of it, and they do wonders with it. I mean, even after it's been tossed in sauces and with vegetables, it still has that crunch, that cracklin crunch to it. It's just the thing I love about Thai food, especially in the summertime, is this blend of flavor that's kind of distinctive to the cuisine, where it hits every part of your palate. It's sour, it's sweet, it's spicy, it's a little funky, fermented, pickly, and it's fresh. Fresh herbs and peppers just cutting through it. And it doesn't have to be hot, but boy, it can be hot. Like if you tell them I really want it hot, they'll turn it up. But the palace for that, just the absolute destination for spice heads, pepper heads, is Secret Thai in Chalmette. It's off of Judge Perez. It's in a strip mall. There's nothing secret about it. It's just the name. It's in a strip mall. It's very, very clear.
Did you say the palace for that?
Yeah, the palace. Call it the,
I've been meaning to get there, too. I've been meaning to get there, too. But tell me the name of the place what is it, the palace place is what, in Chalmette?
Secret Thai in Chalmette.
Okay. And real quick, give me a 30-second answer here for somebody to text it in. What distinguishes Thai food from other Asian food?
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, it's that blend of flavors that I mentioned. Its closest corollary might be, no, I can't even say that. I mean, it's right hard against Vietnam there, but Vietnam it tends to be more clean flavored, straight up noodle dishes and broths. Thai food is just, it's that blend of citrus and chili peppers and coconut milk and, All those things kind of ping-ponging around the palate at once that makes it such a delight. Changes from kind bite to bite, even.
Like a layers of flavor thing?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Okay, thank you.
It's not in every single dish, but that's sort of the defining feature of how they cook.
A harmonious blend of flavors. More with Ian McNulty when we come back. 940, 20 till 10, traffic, WWL. 9:46, 14 till 10, favorite time of day on Friday. We get our favorite time of the week, really. We get to talk to Ian McNulty, who covers eating and drinking. And somebody texted in, Ian, I want to get to this, too, about best dishes to get at Nuvolari's in Mandeville. Six going tonight, haven't been in many, many years. You know anything about that?
Yeah, well, it's new age over there. This is the classic in Mandeville. And we talked about some of the new places that have cropped up in Mandeville over the years, or very recently, I should say. But this is the one that's been steady through the years. But it's had some changes. It's had a refresh. Frankly, I would need to go again before I could recommend specific dishes. Mm-hmm. But I know it's a good time. It's one of those. On the outside, there's one world, and on the inside, there's Nuvolari's, and that big long bar is sort of like a it's like a North Shore fixture. It's like sort of a Cheers kind of scene in there. So it's fun, it's class, it's good cooking, and it's it's New Orleans, it's Italian with a New Orleans side for sure. But I don't want to prescribe specific dishes until I go back again and try it out. But I would hit for sure.
Somebody text in and please ask Ian to tell us more about Gabriel's special dinner week honoring Chef Paul Prudhomme. He wrote an article about it.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one. And really hit with people. You know, we got a really strong response. So all summer I've been going around trying to highlight places doing things differently. You know, I mean, we talk about the summer slump and how tough it is for businesses, but they also get real creative in the restaurant realm. And it's great to see, and it can make some really, really fun dining experiences. And I think this one sounds top-notch. They just started it this week. So Gabrielle is on Orleans Avenue now. It's right up the street from Dookie Chase's. But for years and years, this is the place on Esplanade Avenue near City Park, started by Greg and Mary Saunier. Before that, though, when they were youngins, Greg and Mary met working at K. Paul's Louisiana Kitchen in its early days, in the early 80s. And this is, of course, the restaurant from the late, great Paul Prudhomme. Mm-hmm. And so Greg, he cooked at Paul's side. It was really Paul Prudhomme was a mentor for him. And you can see that style reverberating through his menu. I mean, he's the same class as Frank Brightson, you know, who is another protege of Paul Prudhomme. Well, at Gabrielle, they decided this summer, let's mark what would have been the 85th birthday of Paul Prudhomme with a special menu of dishes straight from K. Paul's, straight from the old days. And so they're serving that alongside dishes from their regular menu now through, I want to say, next Saturday, July 19th. And the menu looks great. It's I haven't had it, but I know the way Greg cooks, and I think the heritage of K. Paul's will be well represented. It's a chance to have black and red fish from a chef who was there from the start when Paul Prudhomme made black and red fish the dish that came to represent Louisiana cooking for people of a generation around the world, and actually forced a change in fishing regulations because they were worried that redfish was going to be depleted by demand for this dish. K. Paul's at one point later on changed to drum, and Bryson's makes blackened tuna in the same style. But you can taste blackened redfish over at Gabrielle, done in the same style as K. Paul's, right down to the sort of throwback steamed veggies with dry butter on the side. If you still have some garb from the 1980s knocking around in your closet, make a throwback 80s outing of it. Anyway, they're serving a 3-course menu. It's $60. You can still get their regular menu on the side. And it's one of those great kind of fun summer outings that does break up the summer for us and makes a big difference for the restaurants with the support you give them.
I know I'm keeping you long, but go ahead and fill out an overtime sheet. I'll sign it. Let me ask you about somebody texted in about eating places in Algiers other than Algiers Point, which I think is an interesting question because I don't know. You tell me.
Well, first one that comes to mind is Plume Algiers. And this is just outside the Point. I mean, the Point is an island unto itself, right? I know there's some Algerines there who could probably dispute the specific boundaries, but when I'm in Algiers Point, and spoiler, I'm going there tonight to check out some restaurants, it's, you know, it's the Point. You get the river on two sides, and then you've got, what is it, Opelousa Street kind of is one boundary, and then the other, I don't know exactly where it ends, but, you know, it's this walkable, tight grid of spots, and there's been a glow-up in the restaurant situation around there that I'm going to go check out this weekend. But if you go just on the periphery of that, a few blocks away, I think it's, let's call it a half a mile or so from the ferry landing, you'll find Plume Algiers. It's a wonderful Indian restaurant. It's a tiny little mom-and-pop. You know, caveat, the hours can be a little erratic. You kind of want to check to make sure they're open before you make the drive across the bridge if you're coming from that way. But it's wonderful food. It's very affordable. It's BYOB at the minute. They usually serve drinks, but right now it's BYOB. And it's Indian food that you're not going to get at your typical curry house. And we've seen a lot of, just like the Thai restaurants we were talking about earlier, we've seen a lot of great Indian restaurants coming along, doing things differently, next generation stuff. And that's what Plume Algiers is. Outside of the Point, there's a new spot I've not been. It's called St. Clair. It just opened while I was out of town on vacation. But it looks very interesting. It's the next from Melissa Martin, who has Mosquito Supper Club in Uptown New Orleans.
Where
is
it?
It's all about her Bayou Cajun food. And this one, St. Clair, it's off of Patterson Road. I think it's Richland Road is the address. But it's quite a ways off the Point. Definitely a drive. And it's right kind of hard against the levee, so it has this like French country house look to it. Again, I have not been, but from early reports, it looks quite interesting and worth an investigation.
And I'm a West Banker. We call it Old Algiers and other than Algiers Point. But other than that, in Algiers, and you just mentioned Richland, and where do you say?
Patterson.
Patterson, right? Which would be further down toward.
Towards English turn, all that. Right,
exactly, yeah. Somebody says to try the Appetite Repair Shop in the Point tonight. Ian, a suggestion for you.
Yeah. Sure.
Any final thoughts, my friend, before we let you go?
Bastille Day this weekend. That always gives good feelings for from all the French restaurants out there, but especially a shout-out to Café Degas and its neighbors along Ponce de Leon Street off of Esplanade. They're doing their annual Bastille Day block party tomorrow on Saturday. That's always a blast. It's always hot and it's always fun. It's a, you know, everyone wears their their French flag colors.
Ian? Apparently
it really has a neighborhood block party. That's tomorrow on just off Esplanade behind Café Degas from I think 5 on. So that's always a blast.
I Google Ian McNulty and find out everything you need to know. My friend, a pleasure as always, an honor and a privilege. Ian McNulty covers dining and food culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. 9:54, quick break, then we'll find out what Newell's got planned for us today here on WWL.